Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Connie Bolin. I'm the founder and now the chairman of Warbirds in Review, and this continues to grow every year. And one of the reasons it does is because you enjoy being here. You support us. But another reason is the number of volunteers. I came up at the last minute. I was in the air show briefing, I see my crew is going, wow, we made it again. Mike Wagnon and all the other alley cats. We call them the alley cats. They work very, very hard all week to shuffle all these airplanes in and out. They are just one set of the volunteers that make this happen for all of you. Again, we thank you for your support. The aircraft owners that bring their aircraft. You'll meet Jim Lawrence here in just a few minutes. Jim owns this bird dog here. He happens to live in the Atlanta area, not too far from where I live. Jim said he was going to sell his airplane. Don't you love all this airplane noise? Jim said he was going to sell his airplane, but then when I asked him if he'd be part of Warbirds in Review this year, he said, well, that means I can't sell my airplane right now, right? So that's what it means to a lot of these people to be a part of Warbirds in Review. They restore and preserve these aircraft in tribute to our veterans, and this gives us an opportunity to invite those veterans and to invite you to hear about the airplanes. So that's an honor for us to be able to do that. The Scott's Miracle-Gro Company is the sustaining sponsor for Warbirds in Review, so our hat's off to Jim Hagedorn, CEO of Scott's Miracle-Gro, who owns the Old Crow P-51. He had to leave to go back to work today, so I'm pleased to tell you that that's why I was in the air show briefing. Jim has to go to work today, so I get to fly his airplane this afternoon. Somebody has to do it. Scott's Miracle-Gro Company, so you know why. They mean a lot to me, but in addition to allowing me to fly his airplane, he's a huge supporter of our veterans, so we thank them. Ron and Diane Fagan of Fagan Fighters World War II Museum in Granite Falls, Minnesota. They are big supporters. Jelly Belly Candy sponsored our Doolittle program yesterday. So to all of our sponsors and our many volunteers, aircraft owners, and this UH-60 here that came to support our program, the Madison Guard. So our active military is also a big part of what we do. And if I could have you direct your attention to the Jumbotron, we have an intro video for this program.
It is impossible to imagine what fighting in combat is like unless we have actually done that. Two more of our country's heroes are with us today to share their experiences fighting in seven different conflicts from Vietnam to Iraq and Afghanistan. Jim Lawrence is a retired Marine captain. He's also a retired Naval Aviator, rank of commander. And he is a retired Air Force Lieutenant Colonel. Only he can explain all of that. He has over 35,000 flight hours, 7,700 in single-seat aircraft, three combat tours flying over Laos, North and South Vietnam, then Bosnia and Afghanistan. His first carrier landing, or TRAP, as naval aviators call it, was flying the Navy T-2B jet trainer at age 19. Among his aircraft, the Navy F-8 Crusader, the A-4 Skyhawk, and the O-1 Bird Dog, all in combat before he turned 22. Then came the A-7 Corsair and the A-10 Warthog over Bosnia, and the King Air 350 over Afghanistan. He retired from Western and Delta as a captain after 35 years with the airlines. Michael Durant is a retired Chief Warrant Officer 4 Army Aviator. Over 22 years active duty, he flew 150 medevac missions in the UH-1 Huey and UH-60 helicopters. Then air assault missions assigned to the 101st Aviation Battalion at Fort Campbell, Kentucky. He participated in Combat Operation Prime Chance to protect American flagged oil tankers in the Persian Gulf. Operation Just Cause, the U.S. invasion of Panama. And Operation Desert Storm, where he was the first helicopter pilot to engage a Scud missile launcher. Flying with the 160th Special Operations Regiment, SOAR, on October 3, 1993, he was the second Black Hawk helicopter to crash in Mogadishu, Somalia, where he was seriously injured and taken prisoner. He was released after 11 days in captivity. His three crewmates and two Army snipers were killed trying to fight off hostile Somalis. Durant retired with 3,700 flight hours, 1,400 of those hours on night goggles. He wrote a New York Times bestseller, In the Company of Heroes, about his career and his experiences in Somalia. In 2008, Durant was inducted into the Army Aviation Hall of Fame. Both gentlemen are highly decorated. Jim Lawrence, Distinguished Flying Cross, 36 Air Medals, 2 Single Mission Medals, and many, many more. Michael Durant, Distinguished Flying Cross with Oak Leaf Cluster, Bronze Star with V Device, the Purple Heart, 3 Air Medals, the POW Medal, and many, many more.
Ladies and gentlemen, David Hartman.
Thank you all very much. Please welcome Jim Lawrence and Michael Durant. Jim.
Sir.
Oh, God, don't call me sir. Darn. You just heard it. You're a Marine. And I'd heard, you know, once you're a Marine, you're always a Marine. But you retired from the Marines and became a naval officer and aviator. And then you retired from Marine Corps and became an Air Force pilot. Now, what was this all about, Jim?
I just couldn't keep a steady job.
Michael, he missed Army aviation. I mean, how hurt are your feelings?
It's not over yet. I mean, maybe he's saving the best for last.
Right. Jim, start us off, would you? In all your flying, start with what, the A4 in Vietnam?
Yes, sir. When I got my wings, we went overseas, deployed to Chu Lai, Vietnam. And I was assigned, I was a young lieutenant, 21 years old. And I was assigned to VMA 211 out of Chu Lai and was flying combat missions there. And then they asked for volunteers to go to the bird dog of the FAC. And being 21, I figured, you know, what could possibly go wrong? And so I volunteered to go be a FAC. So that's how.
So you went from flying A4 at 400-500 miles an hour to flying a bird dog at, what, 90 miles an hour?
On a good day.
On a good day? So what does that really say about you? I mean,
that I'm a really slow learner.
Tell me about the bird dog missions.
The bird dog mission was probably one of the more rewarding because we were working with our ground troops in heavy contact, as you know, Michael certainly understands. And our mission in the bird dog was to find the bad guys, well, depending on which side you're on, and which was usually not very difficult. And we would work with our ground troops. We would then identify the targets, bring in fighters. Because we were fighter pilots, we knew the capabilities of the aircraft. We knew the ordnance because we had been doing it. And I love it. Anyway. Then we would control the tactical fighters. We controlled F-4 Phantoms, A-4 Skyhawks, F-100s, and we controlled naval gunfire off of the battleship New Jersey. I controlled her about a dozen times in the Newport News cruiser, and then Marine and Army artillery. So,
how often were you shot at? I mean, how dangerous is that flying at that altitude?
Well, it got pretty sporting every now and then, but probably I would say 90% of our missions, we took ground fire. In fact, the names on the side of my airplane are my squadron mates who were shot down and killed in action while we were flying the Bird Dog. We could only fly it for 6 months because the loss rate was so high. So that's as memorial to my buddies that didn't come home.